The Holy Gospel comes from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure in storage is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the darkness in you, or the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, about what you will eat or about what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not as valuable as they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to your lifespan? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. How do they grow? They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. So if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not also clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What will we eat?' or 'What will we drink?' or 'What will we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. So instead, seek only the kingdom of God and his justice, and all these things will be added to you as well. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Today has enough trouble of its own." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. In the name of Jesus, who is Lord of every authority, amen. As our Easter season comes to a conclusion with our celebration of Pentecost, we reflect on one final text from Isaiah, the culminating and concluding vision of Isaiah's grand preaching to the people of Israel throughout their time of struggle. If you remember the context, Isaiah preached to a people immersed and enshrouded in darkness. Not some sort of existential darkness, but a darkness that was a part of every fabric of their lives. The darkness of the Assyrian Empire and the Babylonian empires and their darkness as they came to oppress and destroy God's people. Their darkness was a very literal one. The homes that they had lived in were destroyed. The family members that they loved were hauled off into exile into a foreign land. The treasured temple, the place where they believed God himself dwelled in their midst, was leveled to the ground. Their darkness was so complete, they wondered in their situation whether God himself had left them completely. It is into this darkness that Isaiah spoke a word of light, that culminates and concludes with our text for today. Isaiah spoke earlier throughout his book of all sorts of beautiful pictures of hope, but here his words cannot get more encompassing. He speaks on behalf of Yahweh and says, "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth." Into a situation where their world had completely fallen apart around them in pretty much every possible way, Isaiah has the boldness and the audacity to speak into the people's situation and say that God is declaring that he is doing something new. And not only something new in your one place, for your one personal problem. This is a newness that transcends all of creation. God isn't just stepping in to fix your problems or my problems. He is stepping in to set all of it, all of the heavens, all of the earth, right again. And as Isaiah moves forward in proclaiming this vision of God's restoration of the world, it's a beautiful one. He speaks of a time of rejoicing and gladness for God's people. And he says, there will be no more weeping, no more distress. Imagine yourself in their situation. Your homes have been destroyed. You've been hauled off into a foreign land where you don't understand the language. Your children may have been killed. You've lost everything that you treasure. You think God and his temple has abandoned you. And Isaiah has the boldness to say, there's going to be no more weeping. No more suffering. Really? Or think of the own dark situations that you have gone through in your own life, the darkness that may still hover over you. No more weeping. No more suffering. God, you're kind of an idealist. And I'm not sure you're in touch with reality. But Isaiah continues on behalf of God, saying, not only will there be no more weeping and distress, no longer will a child be born only to die. The pain of many mothers throughout the generations who have carried a child for mere hours, days, months, only to have the child snatched away from them in a situation of complete injustice, Isaiah says no more. No more will children die. No more will the mother nurture them for months to only have the potential of that life snatched away. And even goes on to say that also in addition to that, everyone will live out the fullness of their days. How often have we witnessed people in our own lives, young folk with so much potential, so much energy in life, and all of a sudden, in an instant, it's gone. The whole promise of a lifetime snatched away, removed, and all we can ask is why? Why? Isaiah says, no more will this happen. Everyone will live out the fullness of their life. And then Isaiah's vision through God goes on to encompass all of our economic situation in our world as well. He starts painting a picture saying, they will build houses and they'll actually get to live in their houses. They will plant orchards and they'll get to eat the fruit of the orchard. Imagine a situation like that of the people of Israel where they have been hauled off to be slaves in Assyria or Babylon or even left in their own land to be slaves. Sure, they're building houses and palaces so some rich Assyrian or Babylonian can live in it. They're working the orchard so some rich Assyrian or Babylonian can eat the fruit and enjoy the pleasures of life.
And how often do we see that in our own day? From immigrants who work hard to build and to plant and receive no fruit. They do not get to enjoy the labor of their hands. Or even the average American who toils and works for somebody bigger than them, government or corporation, and they very rarely enjoy actually what they put their work into. God says, in my new world, what you work on, you will enjoy. No longer will the oppressor take that away from you. And Isaiah continues saying that no longer will any labor be in vain, not only from the oppressor, but no longer will the disasters, the floods, the tornadoes, the pain of the world around us be able to snatch away all of our efforts and our energy. God will allow it to bear fruit. And he says that this is possible as he goes on to say, for before they call, I will answer them. While they are yet speaking, I will listen. Isaiah's picture is one of a God so completely present that we don't even have to utter the words of a prayer because God is already answering the prayer before we have a chance to ask. How often have we, in our own lives, prayed for something diligently for hours, days, months, years, begging, begging, begging God to listen, to answer that prayer? Imagine a world where God is so fully present that there is no prolonged begging. While you are still speaking and even conceiving of the thought of what you need, God himself is already fulfilling it. This is spoken to a people who, again, believe that God had completely abandoned them. And Isaiah says, there's a time where he will be so present in your midst. He will answer your prayers even as you speak them. And then Isaiah's vision encompasses all of creation and says, the wolf and the lamb will lie down together and feed together. A world in which the animosity of the world around us comes to an end. Where former enemies are now friends, allies side by side. A world in which the predatory and prey relationship of wolf and lamb is gone. No longer is the wolf hunting down the weak lamb to take advantage. The wolf has given up its predatory ways to eat side by side with the lamb. And Isaiah says, through God, there will be no more violence in the world anymore. Imagine a world where the violence, physical, emotional, and spiritual, where we hurt and attack one another with our words and our actions, where this happens no more. And so Isaiah's vision for us this morning concludes as he speaks on behalf of the Lord, saying, heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. What is the house that you would build for me? What is the place of my rest? All these things my hand has made, and all these things came to be through me. The Lord is challenging his people to rethink their ideas of God. Do you really think that you can put God in a box, in a temple, in a church? Do you really think God lives in buildings? He says, no, heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. The image is one of God filling the whole creation with his presence. No longer is God relegated to that one sacred place. All of the creation has become God's dwelling place in his temple. And it is through God's presence in this place that the vision that Isaiah has for us of a new world comes to fruition. When God is present in such a way, there is no more weeping. There is no more suffering. There is no more economic exploitation. There is no more shortened lives. There is no more violence and preying upon others. And so the Lord's final words for us this morning, this is the one on whom I will reside. The one who is humble and quiet in spirit and trembles at my word. So as we sit here and listen to Isaiah's vision, it would be easy to think he's just a dreamer. He's an idealist. He has no connection with reality. What are we supposed to do with such fantastical visions? We need baby steps in our world. We can't just jump to this, a world with no weeping, no violence, no exploitation. But the promise is that the Lord himself will reside on those who are humble, quiet in spirit, who tremble and listen for his word. As we celebrate Pentecost this morning, the presence of God has already started to fill our world. Jesus rose from the dead, ascended to the right hand of the Father, not to leave us, but to pour out his Spirit more fully into our very midst. God lives within your body through the Spirit of Jesus. His presence is already filling you. He is already so fully present in your life that Isaiah's vision has already begun to happen. Those who bear the Spirit of Jesus are the new heavens and the new earth. You are the first seeds of a new world. Your life, filled and transformed by the Spirit, is the beginning of a world where there is no more weeping, where there is no more suffering, where there is no more economic exploitation, where there are no more enemies, where there is no more violence. But are we willing to accept that vision? Are we willing to truly believe that God is dwelling within our bodies, within this community, in order to make that new world happen? Or have we resigned ourselves to a more realistic vision of how things have to be? The humble, the quiet. Our world teaches us to be arrogant, loud, and to speak, so that we can be the center of attention. But the new world is happening through the humble, through the quiet and still of heart, those who wait on God, and through those who listen to his word. Are we willing to be a people of humility, of quietness, of stillness, of listening before his word? Or are we resigned to just embrace a world that continues to perpetuate suffering, pain, violence, and exploitation, as we arrogantly fight and prey upon one another? Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. It's already begun within us. Amen.